Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today. I'm super excited about what I'm up to, who I'm bringing on as my guest today, and what we're going to be talking about. The title of today's show, I know you're going to love this. It's Make Yourself a Priority by Setting Boundaries, Releasing Toxic Relationships, and Practicing Self-Care. This is what my guest today is an expert in. And if you remember her, she's been on the Cornelia Stephanie Show before on the Stories of Hope, and I think it was last year. Through her work as a spiritual life coach and certified aromatherapist, Teresa Ann Turk, aka the Ritual Queen, empowers women everywhere to step out of overwhelm and into joy by awakening to their own validation and strength. Teresa creates massive impacts in her clients' lives with dynamic daily rituals and simple yet powerful mind shifts. Teresa was called to coaching through her own spiritual journey of self-discovery, following a battle with depression and anxiety. Teresa is the host of the Ritual Queen podcast and CEO of the Ritual Queen LLC. And now what she's added to her bio, she is now an author as well and has written an incredible series of books that we're going to talk about today. I'm so excited about those books. Welcome back to the show, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me again, Cornelia. Our last talk was so good that I'm really excited to dive in today.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you came back. When we visited, first of all, thank you for bringing the topic that you brought about setting healthy boundaries and, practicing that deep inner self-care, releasing toxic relationships. And that was something that you wanted to talk about today. So, give us a little bit of insight as to why that topic now and why is that so important?
Yeah. So thank you for giving me the platform to share, because I believe as women and caregivers, we give so much to everybody else that we just forget about ourselves, and we just don't understand how important it is for everybody around us that we ourselves are a priority. And that was one of the main topics in my book, and learning to release the people-pleasing tendencies that we have as women. And doing that by setting those boundaries and, getting rid of the toxic relationships in our lives. And it's hard. I released one of mine over 20 years ago. And it's not that, it was an easy decision or that I don't still, wish it could be different. But you have to set those boundaries that make your life better without worrying about, how it affects somebody else.
Yes, absolutely. I was just on a podcast too the other day, and we were talking about the boundaries is such an important piece. It's such an important act of self-love, right? Yes. And sometimes even setting the boundaries, it's even setting a boundary for yourself that you will only think loving thoughts of yourself. Like setting that boundary, it's like, okay, sometimes, it's setting the boundary for yourself. It's like, hey, right. No more judgment, no more negative thoughts. I'm only going to think good, loving thoughts of myself.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. It's a really important one. That's one of those little mindset shifts that can really have massive impact in your life. And it's not that a negative thought's never going to creep up again, like it is. But then when you have that boundary and you have that promise to yourself that you're working towards, you know, loving yourself, when that negativity creeps up, you can then be aware of it and you can immediately make that shift to say something nice to override the negativity that comes in.
And that's what we have to do. And that's what it means by, you know, what you mean by saying it's hard, because it's requiring a consistent self-correction, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, yep, I did it again.
Right.
Right. I let go. I didn't realize I wasn't kind to myself. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you also mentioned toxic relationships. So, right. Non-boundary setting and toxic relationships go hand in hand.
They do indeed. And sometimes when you try to set those boundaries with people and they're not willing to accept them or stay within those boundaries that you set, sometimes then you do have to make that hard decision to just cut off the relationship. And it's difficult, and you really need to, you know, have enough awareness around yourself that know that that's what's required and what's healthy for you, and then make that decision and stick with it.
Yeah, because again, it comes down to the way that you feel about yourself, right, and what you will and will not tolerate anymore in your world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about what you accept for yourself.
Right. Yeah. And so we don't accept bullying.
No, definitely not.
We don't accept bullying. It's like the queens. Are you kidding me? It's like, can you imagine the queen accepting being bullied?
Yeah, no, not going to happen. Not anymore. Once you can step into that queen status in your own mind and think of yourself that way, it really can help shift what you can and can't accept.
Yeah. You said that you suffered from depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit more about what that was like for you, and where are you today in your life, in your own inner being, and where are you looking back?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it's a topic that's just so important to me, because there's just so much stigma and shame around it that people are afraid to get help for it because they don't want others to think less of them because they have that, you know, mental health issues. But for me, honestly, looking back on it, I think that depression and anxiety is probably something that I've had since childhood and just never addressed it, because my survival mechanism through childhood was people pleasing, and saying that I was suffering, you know, would be the complete opposite of that. And in order to get through that, I made sure that there was no attention, positive or negative, put on me. So it was just something I just kind of shoved deep down. And then, you know, once I had kids and got married, I just carried all of that people-pleasing tendencies into that and just kept shoving and shoving and shoving and never addressing and dealing with any of my, you know, childhood pain and trauma. And then one point it just exploded. And when you do that, when you just continue to not, you know, face or address anything that is causing you pain and anxiety, and you just keep pushing it down, the smallest, tiniest little thing is what's going to cause it to erupt. And that's what happened to me. And then that forces you then at that point have to make a decision. And, you know, I started to experience suicidal thoughts and knew that was not the direction that I wanted to continue taking in my life. And so that was my wake up call. And that was my force to ask for help. So I did. I finally admitted that I needed help, that I could no longer, you know, carry on this way. I couldn't do it myself. So I started the traditional route of therapy and medication and really started to dig myself out of that deep, dark hole that I was in. And then, you know, through that, once I started to begin to come out of that and feel a little bit better is whenever I started, you know, my spiritual journey and really started doing all of that inner work and healing. And today I'm doing great. I love myself. I love my life. And that's not to say that I don't still have bad days, that I don't still slip into depressive episodes, because I do. But now I have the self-awareness and I have that toolbox available to me that it doesn't stick around. I can now, you know, work myself through those situations and out of those moments much quicker than what I could have in the past.
Yeah, that's really powerful what you're sharing, because you mentioned that the depression piece and then the medication piece, and I know there's a lot of people on depression, in depression, mm-hmm. and are on medication. Yeah. What would you say, like when you said, okay, when you had the suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. you, that was, I think, the game changer where you were like, okay, it's possible that I'm going to end my life here now. And then basically you made the decision from that place, like, I don't want to die. I want to live. And now I need to get help. Right.
Right.
And then when you started getting help, what was underneath there in the root of the energy? What was there that you had to look and face and see that was there all along?
It was childhood stuff. Mm. A lot of like, I grew up in a space of a lot of chaos, and I had alcoholic parents. Like, my actual birth father wasn't around. Like, I never even met him until I was like 13, 14, something like that. So there was like abandonment issues from that. There was a lot of not feeling worthy because of, you know, the way I grew up and the atmosphere I grew up in. So there was a lot of pain and a lot of trauma and a lot of hurt that I never recognized and I never addressed. And I know somebody could be like, so that's like what you grew up in, but you didn't think that that was like the root of your problems. Like, how could you not put those two together? And I think just when you're in it, you don't see it. And that's why it's really important to get that help and bring somebody in that can help give you some clarity and really steer you in the right direction to begin to work through it. And that's what a therapist did for me.
That's wonderful. So, you know, having a therapist, a trauma, because it's yeah. trauma that you're facing, trauma therapist, somebody that specializes in that kind of work, that can really help you get to the root of the issues. Yeah. I personally suffered from this myself. And I found the reason why I asked you this question is, mm-hmm. you know, what was at the root? For me, what was at the root? I had alcoholic parents too. Mm-hmm. And my father was absent. So there was no father. Yeah. All the pressure was on the feminine, on the woman, on the mother. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize until I think it was 2011 that I had never held my father accountable for anything. It was always putting all the pressure on my mother. She had to be the one that bears all the burden of everything that I was feeling and experiencing. And, you know, at the time I was, you know, when I was in my deep wounding, I was blaming her, which, you know, until I started taking responsibility for my own life and my own healing, mm-hmm. And I started seeing, you know, that this is my stuff and I need to work with this. But removing the blame was the first part, you know, of that, right. taking that pressure off. So, but I found at the root of all of that, that I had self-hatred at my core. Mm-hmm. I hated myself, and that was pretty ugly to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when you start digging in and you start working through it, some nasty stuff will surface. But you just got to keep going because you got to face it to get through it.
So I had suicide ideation all my life until 1993. Since that mm-hmm. time, it has been healed and I've overcome suicide, and I never have suicidal thoughts anymore. That's mm-hmm. something that was of a past life issue. So can you imagine the loss in this world if mm-hmm. you and I would have acted on those suicidal thoughts. Yeah. What right. a terrible thing that would have been for us, you know?
Yeah. And
not just for us, but also for the people that we leave behind, for the world, because what a loss it would be that we are not here anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, my children and my husband is what saved me from that, because I just couldn't imagine doing that to them, I guess. So that's like the one thing that saved me from ever following through with anything.
I just want to tell you how blessed you are that you have your children and your husband.
Yeah.
I can't say that I did.
Yeah.
And I
am very lucky.
Yeah, for me, it was like I had to just be enough in my own, that mm-hmm. for myself, yeah. it was like, that was huge, you know, because
that's the hardest, right?
It was really hard. So yeah. I understand your pain and I understand the lessons because I can relate to it. I've been there firsthand mm-hmm. and I know what a victorious job that is as, mm-hmm. as women and as human beings to come back into our truth and into our healing and into our queenhood. Yeah. And that's why, you know, now you are a ritual queen. You're helping so many others yeah. with the work that you're doing. And I'm so glad for it. I'm so glad that you're here on this planet doing this work. And you wrote the books.
You have
some incredible. So I love what you've created. Tell us, you know, tell us about your book. You've got a series of three, right? They're like a packet of three that they
kind of all work together. So writing a book about my life is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. And last year, finally just got that hit and that nudge to just do it. Like finally just follow through with what you want to do and make it a reality. And so in December, I made the decision that I was doing it. I was writing my book. And so I started writing in December. It's a self-help memoir, I call it. And so it's the journey of my life from childhood to today. And it was really important to me that I not only just share my story, and I share my story in a way that I don't hold back. Like it's very real, it's very raw and vulnerable and completely authentic. Like it is truly a no holds barred book. And that's how it got its title of Uncensored, because there's no filter. Like it's completely, I'm open 100%. So, so the title of it is Uncensored, A Guide to Putting on Your Big Girl Panties. And it's my story of becoming a recovering people pleaser, going through healing all of my childhood BS and letting go of all of my beliefs that were holding me back from being true to myself and fully loving myself and loving my life in this beautiful family that my husband and I built together, and to finally fully stepping into that and just enjoying every single day of it. And I really wanted it to be a guide to help others as well. So every single chapter has journaling prompts and resources and things that, so if the reader can, you know, relate and see themselves in any of the aspects of it, it really is a helping hand to them to start their own healing journey back to themselves. So that's the main book. And then I also wanted...
No, Teresa, let us see it. Let us see it because it's so pretty.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
Let us see that book. So yeah, show us, get a little bit more and maybe pull... Yeah.
Uncensored. And then, so one of my favorite quotes from the book I'm going to read, if you don't mind, is... To find yourself, you have to love yourself. To love yourself, you have to know your worth. To know your worth, you have to find validation within. And to find validation within, you have to stop listening to outside sources. So that's how we start the book. And then, so every single chapter, at the end of every chapter, I'm going to give you journaling prompts and resources throughout the whole book. And then, of course, since I am a aromatherapist as well, at the end, I share with you some of my favorite oil blends. And yeah, there's all kinds of worksheets. And It's definitely a guide for you to use on your own healing journey. It's chock full of resources and different ways to help you just get some self-awareness.
How long did it take you to write that book?
So I started in December and I finished at the end of June. So July was spent doing the edits and the revisions, and then it published on Amazon the end of July.
And you self-published?
I self-published through Amazon, yeah.
Well, this goes to show you what a bad you are. What a queen you are. It's like, my God, you know, you made the decision. First of all, you made a decision to live and heal your depression. Yep. You made a decision to write your book. Finally, you were like, that's it. I'm done. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And then you decided that in December. So 6 months later, you had that book written and it's beautiful. I love the outside cover. I love, you know, what you called it and how you have the panties on the what do you call those things?
On like the clothesline?
Yeah. I love that. I just you know, I admire that so much because I know how hard it is to write a book.
Yeah. It was a challenge. I had a lot of ups and downs, and thankfully I had an amazing friend that was my support system and my editor. And whenever I would, you know, start to veer off the rails a little bit or try to hide and not, you know, get fully uncensored, you know, she would call me out. And so, yeah, it was also a bit of a healing journey as well throughout the writing of it. It definitely allowed me to, you know, go through some things that I thought maybe I had fully healed and really dig deep within and find my own, you know, sense of worth and that, yeah, I deserve to do this. So
yeah. Really, did you clear this with your family beforehand? I'm curious because uncensored means that we're talking about it.
Yeah. So I actually wrote like the whole thing, and before, you know, it came out, I kind of shared with everybody, like, I'm writing this book about my life. Like, do you want your name included? Do you want me to leave you out? Like, how do you feel about this? And, you know, I'm sharing everything. I'm being very open. And so I kind of got the okay from everybody, whether or not they wanted their name included or if they wanted it left out. And then I published, and then my family read it.
Good. And how did they take
it? Yeah. It was an experience, I will say. Everybody had a different reaction to it. But since then, like, everybody has come around and everybody is fully supportive and behind me and you know, and love it. And everybody just kind of had to work through it on their own, you know,
yeah.
What it brought up for them.
Yes.
And so, but we have now, like, everybody's, you know, everybody's read it, everybody's worked through, you know, different things that it triggered within them. And yeah, now everybody is on board and supportive and couldn't be more excited for me. So
I think you've brought a lot of healing for your entire family.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. For your family and your children, everybody that is the beneficiary of reading your book and actually using it to support their own healing, because that's how we relate. We relate by through storytelling. And so tell us about the partner book to the first book.
So the second one then that I did was a journal to, because we have the journaling prompts and everything like in the book, but I wanted to give you like your own sacred space to actually answer them and work through them and stuff. So that led me to the journal. And then I took all of the resources from the book, put them in here, and then gave you your own like sacred space to actually really dive in and get real. And like, it's for you. Like, it's not for anybody else. It's 100% for you, so that you have the freedom to fully explore what's coming up for you And so on top of all of the resources and the journal prompts from the book itself, I wanted it to be even more than that. So every single section in the journal has a get uncensored spot where we go into journal prompts and things that go even deeper, that really dig in and really, you know, make you think and make you feel and make you really work through all of those things that are bubbling up and really have a space to get them out and really begin that deep healing.
I really feel like this book needs to be in every household. Honestly,
I agree.
You know what I mean? It needs to be in every household and every, because I know that there's a lot, you know, that depending on, no matter where you are, there is definitely some good healing that can happen through this process.
I agree. And everybody, your healing journey truly never ends. Like, there's always more to get through. And I mean, I'm the perfect example because I wrote it and I went through healing things as I was writing it. So yeah, there's always more to do and more to heal, and it's very, very important to me.
So you've got the main book, and then you've got the second book of the journaling, and then you added another book.
Which one
is that?
So number three is called Be Uncensored, and it's the coloring book. Because a coloring book was important to me because on my own healing journey, somebody had gotten me an adult coloring book, because when things were really bad and I was really deep into the depression, doing anything was a major chore, like showering, brushing my teeth, like all of it just felt so heavy and so hard to do. So it was hard to find kind of joy in things. And somebody had gotten me an adult coloring book and I was like, I don't know about this, but it ended up being like, it ended up being very therapeutic and a really creative outlet for me, because it took no thought. There was no thought at all involved. It was a matter of opening a page, picking a color, and it really became something that I did a lot. It was really like kind of mind-numbing activity that allowed me to pour out emotion without having to verbalize it. So the coloring book for me was very important because I wanted it to be a space of dark to light. So when I was looking for a coloring book and stuff back when I was going through it, everything was kind of like happy and rainbows and flowers. And I'm thinking, you know, when I'm really feeling like, I don't really want to color a rainbow. So I made my coloring book to be a progression. So it starts off kind of heavy and dark for maybe when you're having a really bad day. And then we kind of ease into some, you know, lighter. And so like we have some darker images in the beginning and, you know, some naughty words, because yeah, heads up, you are going to see some F-bombs in my book because I use them and I don't hold back. But so there's like some just images that are more, you know, when you're feeling a little sad and kind of down, and then we move into ones that are a little more upbeat and happier. And so it just kind of gives you a progressive choice, you know, how are you feeling? What do you want to color today? And yeah, there's just options for you.
It needs to be in every household, this book. Every teenager, every young woman needs to have it. I think, you know, every older woman that is alive that wants to do some healing on her life, I think it's brilliant. So I commend you for writing and putting this all together in such a short amount of time. You truly are a queen. Let's tell the audience where they can find your book on Amazon, and then where they can also get in contact with you.
Yes, thank you, Kunia. I appreciate that. And that's the whole reason why I did it, right? I want to help others really live their life and heal and enjoy things. And all three of the books are available on Amazon. The main book is also available as an ebook, if that's your preference. And that's also available on Kindle and Apple iBooks. But yeah, Amazon is the way to go. And you can find me on my website is theritualqueen.com. And that will actually spider you out to all of my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, my own podcast. And it'll also give you links to the book as well.
it was an honor and a pleasure to have you here. I'm super excited about your book and what you're up to. Thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in, and we'll see you again next time. Take care.